Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budle Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravati Pacharini Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschachude Shatarni Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Most respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Ignorance, Prabhupada, saved us. Prabhupada, saved you. Just remember that one mantra. Prabhupada, save me. Prabhupada, save me. Then you will go back and got it. Just chant that one mantra. Prabhupada, save me. Prabhupada, save me. Prabhupada, save me. Just like that devotee we told the story about who used to be called Pigsty. And he just simply chanted that, went out and distributed Prabhupada's books, and chanted Hare Krishna also. And then he went back to Godhead. That's all you got to remember. Prabhupada saved me. Be faithful to Prabhupada and everything will work out. I guarantee. Okay, so Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Okay, so now Chaitanya Charitamrita, still on Adi Leela chapter 5, and let's pick the right screen here. Here we go. Move this black thing out of the way for all of you. There we go. Okay, and if you are at all interested in reading, and raise your hand either in the participant category, or if you have a newer version. It has to be a newer version, not an old version. Then the hand raising is actually somewhere else. Anyway, you'll see it. It's a memory issue. It's interesting. This newer version has a lot of different things the older version didn't have. Okay, let's go. Se purusha srishti stiti pralayera karta nanavatara kare jagatera varta. Alrighty. And the translation is the purusha karana dakshai Vishnu, that's the same as Mahavishnu, the one who breathes out and all the universes come out from him, the one who glances at the material energy and all the living entities are implanted within the material energy, the one who glances at the material energy and expands himself as the Garudakshai Vishnu and the Shirudakshai Vishnu, is the performer of creation, maintenance, and destruction. He manifests himself in many incarnations, for he is the maintainer of the world. So, Shristi Adi Nimiteye Amsira Avadana Satam Sherakahi Avatara Nama. That fragment of the Supreme Lord known as the Mahapurusha, means the big person, appears for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation and is called an incarnation. Incarnation. So technically speaking, the word incarnation, I wish we had a better word than that, means to take, because the word carne, shoe, in Latin means flesh. So Krishna, nor do any of his incarnations have a fleshly body. So we shouldn't misunderstand that word. I have incarnated in this fleshly body. I've taken an incarnation. I've taken many incarnations. Therefore, it's called reincarnation. Again and again and again. But I'm taking different bodies from one birth to another. In this birth, I have this body, which is whatever. Which is, anyway, whatever. It's an old body. And last birth, I had a different type of body. I'm not going to tell you what type of body. And next birth, probably have a different type of body. Not probably, I will. But Krishna never changes his body. And Krishna says that in the Gita. Avyatara Mahapurusha Bhagavan Sarva Avatara Vija Sarva Shraya Dhamma. The Mahapurusha is identical with the personality of God. There's the point. It's not a different body, just Krishna acting differently simultaneously. He is the original incarnation, the seed of all others, and the shelter of everything. Now, the reason the Mahapurusha is called the original incarnation, that means the other incarnations or other appearances of the Lord other than Krishna and Balaram. And I guess the first Chaturvyuha, yeah, actually to be precise, they all come from him. Got it? Lord Nrsingadeva expands from him. Korma, Macha, and all of the other Vishnutapa personalities. He's the shelter of everything. Ajovatara Purusha Parasha. Kalasvabhava sadasananascha dravyam vikaro gunahindriyani viratsvaratstashnu charishnubhumnaha. The Purusha, Mahavishnu, is the primary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time, nature, Prakriti, as cause and effect, the mind, the material elements, false ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form, complete independence, and the moving and non-moving beings appear subsequently as his opulences. So they're his energies. Got it? Opulences. He manifests time, he manifests the nature, the active stuff, and Prakriti as the cause and effect, and everything. Of course, some of these things are not mutually exclusive. One term may include other terms. Because when you're talking about Prakriti, it's cause and effect, that's also the modes of nature within it, and also the senses are in it. And when you say nature, too, everything's in it. Anyway, purport, describing the incarnations and their symptoms, the Lagu Bhagavatamrita has stated that when Lord Krishna descends to conduct the creative affairs of the material manifestation, he is an avatar or incarnation. The two categories of avatars are empowered devotees and Tad Ekatma Rupa, the Lord himself. An example of Tad Ekatma Rupa is Shesha. An example of a devotee is Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna. Srila Baladeva Vibhushana has commented that the material cosmic manifestation is a partial kingdom of God, where God must sometimes come to execute a specific function. The plenary portion of the Lord, through whom Lord Krishna executes such actions, is called Mahavishnu, Karanadaksha Vishnu, who is the primal beginning of all incarnations. All incarnations come from him, expand from him. Inexperienced observers presume that the material energy provides both the cause and the elements of the cosmic manifestation, and that the living entities are the enjoyers of material nature. But the devotees of the Bhagavata school, that's us, which has scrutinizingly examined the entire situation, can understand a material nature can independently be neither the supplier of the material elements nor the cause of the material manifestation. Material nature gets the power to supply the material elements from the glance of the Supreme Purusha Mahavishnu. That's Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, same person. And when empowered by him, she is called the cause, is called the cause of the material manifestation. Both features of material nature as the cause of the material creation and as the source of its elements exist due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is impregnating with his glance the various expansions of the Supreme Lord who act to empower the material energy are known as plenary expansions or incarnations. As illustrated by the example of many flames lit from one flame, all these plenary expansions and incarnations are as good as Vishnu himself, nevertheless, because of their activities in controlling Maya. Sometimes they are known as Mayika, or having a relationship with Maya. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 6th chapter, text 42. Jagrahe purusham rupam bhagavat mahadivihi sambhutam sarashako kalam adaulokas srikshaha. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purusha creation, Mahavishnu. Again, I'm just reiterating so that everybody gets it. Accompanied by all the ingredients of the material creation, property. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universes and purport. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 1. The commentary of Madhva, that's Madhvacharya, and Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that the following 16 spiritual energies are present in the spiritual world. Shri, Bhu, Leela, got it? Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Gir, Pushti, Satcha, Jana, Jnana, Jaya Utkarshani, Vimala, Yogamaya, Prabhu, that's feminine for Prabhu. Ishana and Anugraha. In his commentary on the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana said that the above energies are also known by 9 names. Vimala, Utkarshade, Yana, Kriya, Yoga, Prabhu, Satcha, Ishana, and Anugraha. In the Bhagavad Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami, text 103, they are described as Sri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, Jaya, Vija, Vija, Maya, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, Bhakti, Murti, Vimala, Yoga, Pravi, Ishana, Anugraha, etc. All these energies act in different spheres of the Lord's supremacy. These are all the Lord's energies. You don't have to remember all these different words. Unless you happen to be a scholar. So, yadipi sarvashraya tino tanaite ate samsara antaratma rupe tingho jagat adhara. Although the Lord is the shelter of everything, and although the universes rest, all the universes rest in him, he is the super soul, is also the support of everything. So, Krishna is within everything, outside of everything, maintaining everything, giving everybody intelligence. All pervasive in a macrocosmic sense and a microcosmic sense in every single position. Prakriti sahite tanra uvaya sambana tatapi prakriti sahana hi sparshaganda. Although he is thus connected with the material energy in two ways, He does not have the slightest contact with it. So he never touches this material energy. He does everything by his will. In other words, he doesn't have to do anything. For example, if I wanted to do something, let's say, pick up my phone, which some of you could see, I have to pick it up. It's not simply by my will. Oh, I want the phone to go up. I have to will it and do something with my two little hands. But Krishna doesn't have to do anything. He just wills it to happen, and it happens. Universe is destroyed. Universe is created. Living entities sent to different destinations. He just wills it. So that's why he's called Apta Kama. That means his kama, or his desire, is fulfilled automatically. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami, commenting upon the Lord's transcendental position beyond the material quality, says that Vishnu, as the controller and superintendent of material nature, has a connection with the material qualities. That connection is called yoga. Yoga means to link, like yuge. It's from the root yuge, which means linking. However, the person who directs the prison is not also a prisoner. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, directs or supervises the qualitative nature, he has no connection with the material modes of nature. The expansions of Lord Vishnu always retain their supremacy. They are never connected with the material qualities. One may argue that Mahavishnu cannot have any connection with the material qualities, because if he were so connected, Srimad Bhagavatam would not state that material nature, ashamed of its thankless task of acting to induce the living entities to become a burst of the Supreme Lord, remains behind the Lord in shyness. In answer to this argument, it may be said that the word guna means regulation. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva are situated within this universe as the directors of the three modes, and their connection with the modes is known as yoga. This does not indicate, however, that these personalities are bound by the qualities of nature. And specifically, we have to refer to Lord Shiva. Even though he is the predominating deity of the mode of ignorance, he is not under ignorance in any way, shape, form. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. But that's his duty. He takes charge of the mode of ignorance. Lord Vishnu specifically is always the controller of the three qualities. There is no question of his coming under their control. Although the causal and the element supplying features, causal means like the Mahavishnu's glance, element supplying features means like the pradana, exist in material nature by dint of the glance of the Supreme Personality of God, that the Lord is never affected by glancing over the material qualities. By the will of the Supreme Lord, the different qualitative changes in the material world take place. But there is no possibility of material affection, change, or contamination for Lord Vishnu. It doesn't come in contact with material nature. It would be like a boss running a company who never comes in touch with the people on the production floor. He is in his office, and he tells others what to do, and by his will, things get carried out. I just like that story. One time, Prabhupada was in a car, and this car was being driven by my brother, Ambarish, who is the great-grandson of Henry Ford, the great Acharya of the Ford Motor Company. And as they were driving by the Ford Motor Company, one devotee asked Ambarish, Prabhu, do you work there? And Prabhupada said, no, he doesn't work there. He's the proprietor. Anyway, Krishna doesn't work in the material world. He's the proprietor, well-wisher, the boss, I mean, all sorts of different things. And things happen without him asking for them to happen, because he wills something and his energy is Purusha, Shakti, Vividaya, Shruyate, Swabhavaki, Jnana, Pula, Kriya, Cha, carry out his orders. So, etavirishanami shasha prakatishtopi tadvunahai na yujate sadatmastair yatavuris tadashraya. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated within the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and have fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. And this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 11th chapter, text 38. Imata gita teha puna puna kaya sarvada ishvara tattva chinta shakti haya. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita also states again and again that the Absolute Truth always possesses inconceivable potency. Amita jagate vasi jagat amate naami jagate vasi naama jagate. Lord Krishna said, I am situated in the material world and the world rests in me, but at the same time I am not situated in the material world, nor does it rest in me in truth. The chama stani bhutani bhuta bhin nacha bhuta stove mamata mamata. Anyway, so this is from Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter. So this is incredible. So we say the world rests in Krishna. Let me explain this a little bit. That means everything rests in Krishna's energy. But Krishna is not in the material world. He's in the material world in terms of his energy. And it rests on Krishna's energy. So it doesn't rest on Krishna personally. It rests on Krishna impersonally. Of course, it's no such impersonal thing, but it rests on Krishna's energy, which is not impersonal. Nothing in existence is possible unless energized by the will of the Lord. The entire manifested creation is therefore resting on the energy of the Lord, but one should not therefore presume that the material manifestation is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A cloud may rest in the sky, but that does not mean that the sky and the cloud are one and the same. Similarly, the qualitative material nature and its products are never identical with the Supreme Lord. The tendency to lord it over material nature, or Maya, cannot be a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he descends to the material world, he maintains his transcendental nature, unaffected by the material qualities. In both the spiritual and material worlds, he is always in control of all energies. The uncontaminated spiritual nature always exists within him. The Lord appears and disappears in the material world in different features for his pastimes, yet he is the origin of all cosmic manifestations. The material manifestation cannot exist separate from the Supreme Lord, yet Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in spite of his connection with the material nature, cannot be subordinate to nature's influence. His original form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge is never subordinate to the three qualities of material nature. This is a specific feature of the Supreme Lord's inconceivable potencies. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? If one becomes a perfect yogi with all the cities doesn't mean like New York City, it means powers, one can act in ways contradictory to the laws of nature, not contradicting to Krishna's laws. But Krishna's arranged that yogis can do things like that. They can take bath in one river and come up in another river. Wow. They can do amazing things. It's what to speak of the Lord. If an ordinary, just run-of-the-mill yogi can do that. And of course, those yogis, even though we say they're run-of-the-mill, you will not find them in the modern-day cities. You may find one or two in the Himalayas, but that's about it. Okay, so now we're going to let someone else read. Let us see who's in our participant list. Okay, there's Radha Padma again. She's the only one. Okay, you are officially allowed to unmute now.
Thank you, Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. All
Hari
glory. Please accept my says all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, so you can read now.
Achintya Aishwarya Ejaniha Mara Eitagat Gitara Artha Koila Prachara. O Arjuna, you should know that this as my inconceivable opulence. This is the meaning propagated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Text 91. Seita Purushayan Rai Amshadhari Nama Chaitanyera Sange Sei Nityananda Rama. That Mahapurush, Karanadakshai Vishnu, is known as a plenary part of him, who is Lord Nityananda Balaram, the favorite associate of Lord Chaitanya. Eita Navama Shlokera Artha Vivarana Dashama Shlokera Artha Shunadiya Mana. I have thus explained the ninth verse, and now I shall explain the tenth. Please listen with rapt attention. Yasyam samsha shila garbhodha shai yannabhi abjam loka sanghata nalam loka shrashtu sutika dham dhatus tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. In the Mahabharata Shantipar, it is said that he who is Pradyumna is also Anirudh. He is also the father of Brahma. Thus, Garbhodakshai Vishnu and Shirodakshai Vishnu are identical planetary expansions of Pradyumna, the original deity of Brahma, who is born from the lotus flower. It is Pradyumna who gives Brahma direction for cosmic management. A full description of Brahma's birth is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8, 15 and 16. Describing the features of the three Purushas, the Laghu Bhagavatamrita says that Garbhodakshai Vishnu has a four-handed form, and when he himself enters the hollow of the universe and lies down in the ocean of milk, he is known as Shirodakshai Vishnu, who is the super soul of all living entities, including the demigods. In the Satvata Tantra, it is said that the third Purusha incarnation, Shirodakshai Vishnu, is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart. This Shirodakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Garbhodakshai Vishnu for pastimes. Seita Purusha Ananta Brahmananda Shrijya Sabande Praveshila Bahumurtihana. After creating millions of universes, the first Purusha entered into each of them in a separate form as Sri Garbhodakshai. Bhitare Praveshi Dekhe Sabha Andhakara Rahite nahi kasthana korila vichara. Entering the universe, he found only darkness with no place in which to reside. Then thus he began to consider. Nijanga sveda jala korila shrijana. Sei jale koila ardha brahmananda bharana. Then he created water from the perspiration of his own body, and with that water filled half the universe. Brahmananda Pramana Pancha Satkoti Yojana Ayama Vistara Duihaya Ekasama. The universe measures 500 million yojanas. Its length and breadth are one and the same. Jale Bhari Ardhatanha Koila Nijavasa Ara Ardhe Koila Chaudha Bhuvana Prakasha. After filling the universe with water, half the universe with water, he made his own residence therein and manifested the 14 worlds in the other half. The 14 worlds are enumerated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 5th chapter. The upper planetary systems are Bhu, Bhuva, Swa, Maha, Jana, Tapaha, Satya. The seven lower planetary systems are Tala, Atala, Vitala, Nitala, Talatala, Mahatala, and Sutala. The lower planets as a whole are called Patala. Among the upper planetary systems, Bhu, Bhuva, Swa constitute Swargaloka, and the rest are called Martya. The entire universe is thus known as Triloka. Tanhai prakata prakata koila vaikuntha nija dhama shesha shayana jale korila vishrama. There he manifested Vaikuntha as his own abode and rested in the waters on the bed of Lord Shesha. Ananta shayate tanha korila shayana sahasramastakatanra sahasravadana sahasracharana hasta sahasranayana Sarvavatara Bija Jagata Karana. He lay there with Ananta as his bed. Lord Ananta is a divine serpent, having thousands of heads, thousands of faces, thousands of eyes, and thousands of hands and feet. He is the seed of all incarnations and is the cause of the material world. He is the reservoir of water, first created by the perspiration of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. The Lord lies on the Shesha planetary expansion of Vishnu, who is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the four Vedas as follows. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Rakshaha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vritvat Yatishtat Dasangulam. The Vishnu form called Ananta Shayana has thousands of hands and legs and thousands of eyes. And he's the active generator of all the incarnations within the material world. Tanranabhi Padma Hoite Uthila Eka Padma Sei Padme Hoila Brahmara Janma Sadma. From his navel grew a lotus flower which became the birthplace of Lord Brahma. Sei Padma Nale Hoila Chauda Bhuvana Tenho Brahma Hana Shrishti Korila Srijana. Within the stem of that lotus were the 14 worlds. Thus the Supreme Lord as Brahma created the entire creation. Vishnu Rupaha Nakore Jagata Palane Gunatita Vishnu Sparsha Nahi Maya Gune. And as Lord Vishnu, he maintains the entire world. Lord Vishnu, being beyond all material attributes, has no touch with the material qualities. Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that although Vishnu is the predominating deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, he is never affected by the quality of goodness, for he directs that quality simply by his supreme will. It is said that all living entities can derive all good fortune from the Lord simply by his will. In the Vamana Purana, it is said that the same Vishnu expands himself as Brahma and Shiva to direct the different qualities. Because Lord Vishnu expands the quality of goodness, he has the name Sattva Tanu. The multifarious incarnations of Shirodakshayi Vishnu are known as Sattva Tanu. Therefore, in all Vedic scriptures, Vishnu has been described as being free from all material qualities. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Harirhi Nirguna Sakshat Purusha Prakriti Para Sa sarvadrik upadrishta tam bhajan nirguno bhavet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is always uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, for he is beyond the material manifestation. He is the source of the knowledge of all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, and he is the witness of everything. Therefore, one who worships the Supreme Lord Vishnu also attains freedom from the contamination of material nature. Bhagavatam 10.88.5. One can attain freedom from the contamination of material nature by worshipping Vishnu, and therefore he is called Sattvatanu, as described above.
Okay, you can end here. And basically what we're hearing described is the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, the second manifestation of the Purusha. When you talk about the Purusha avatars, We're talking about right now the Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. It's called the Purusha avatars. What that means is Mahavishnu, he manifests all the different universes that come out from the pores of his body and from his mouth when he breathes out. And he looks at all the universes, and he implants all the spirit souls, and he enters into each and every universe. And in each and every universe, Mahavishnu expands as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, which we're hearing described right now. And this Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lies down in what we call the Garbhadak Ocean, which is not simply mundane water. It's something far more subtle that is created from his body. And out of his navel, Lord Brahma is born. And then this Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expands as the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Anyway, right now we're hearing about the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And we're going to give an opportunity for, I guess, Pran Govinda, who's the next one on the hit parade. So you can unmute yourself now and read.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada.
While I was listening to your reading, you sounded like you are chewing and tasting the philosophy so nicely.
Chewing.
I wish you could give us some taste, Maharaj.
Well, then you have to have some healthy prasadam like I cook. Okay, so
Rudra 105. Rudra Rupa Dhari Kare Jagata Sanghara Sisti Stiti Pralaya Ichaya Jahara. Assuming the form of Rudra, he destroys creation, thus creation, maintenance, and dissolution are created by his will. Purport. Maheshwar, or Lord Shiva, is not an ordinary living being, nor is he equal to Lord Vishnu. Effectively comparing Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, the Brahma Sanhita says that Vishnu is like milk, whereas Shiva is like yogurt. Yogurt is nothing like milk, but nevertheless, it is a milk also. Hiranyagarbha antarjami jagat karana jar ansa kari kare virata kalpana. He is the super soul, Hiranyagarbha, the cause of the material world. The universal form is conceived as his expansion. Hena Narayana Jar Angsera Angsa Sei Prabhu Nityananda Sarva Abhatangsa. That Lord Narayan is a part of a plenary part of Lord Nityananda Balaram, who is the source of all incarnations. Dasama Slokera Artha Kaila Vibarana Ekadasa Slokera Artha Sunadi Amana. I have thus explained the 10th verse. Now please listen to the meaning of the 11th verse with all your mind. Jasyaika Sangsa Sangsa Paratma Khilanam Posta Vishnur Bhati Dugda Vahi Shai Dugda Avadi Shai Skroni Bharta Jat Kala Kala Sopi Anantas Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prapadde. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanag is his further subpart. Narayane Nabhi Nala Madhete Dharani Dharani Ramadhe Sapta Samudra Jegani. The material planets rest within the stem that grows from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. Among these planets are 7 oceans. Tara Shirade Shiradadhi Madhe Setadipanam Palaite Vishnu Palaita Vishnu. Sorry, Palo Ita Vishnu Tar Sei Nijadham. They are in part of the ocean of milk, lies Shatadip, the abode of the sustainer, Lord Vishnu. Purport. In the Siddhanta Shiromani, an astrological text, the different oceans are described as follows. 1. The ocean of salt water. 2. The ocean of milk. 3. The ocean of yogurt. 4. The ocean of clarified butter. 5. The ocean of sugarcane juice. 6. The ocean of liquor. 7. Ocean of sweet water. On the southern side of the ocean of salt water is the ocean of milk, where Lord Shridakshi Vishnu resides. He is worshipped there by demigods like Brahma. Sakala jibera tehu hai antarjami jagat palakatiyo jagatera swami. He is the super soul of all living entities. He maintains this material world and he is its lord. Purport. The Logo Bhagavatamrita, Purva 2.36-42, gives the following description of the Vishnu Loka within this universe, quoted from the Vishnu Dharmottara. Above Rudra Loka, the planet of Lord Shiva, is the planet called Vishnu Loka, 400,000 miles in circumference, which is inaccessible to any mortal living being. Above that Vishnu Loka and east of the Sumeru Hill is a golden island called Mahavishnu Loka. In the ocean of salt water, Lord Brahma and the other demigods sometimes go there to meet Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu lies there with a goddess of fortune, and it is said that during the 4 months of the rainy season, he enjoys sleeping on that Sheshanag bed. East of Sumeru is the ocean of milk, in which there is a white city on a white island where the Lord can be seen sitting with his consort, Lakshmiji, on a throne of Shesha. That feature of Vishnu also enjoys sleeping during the 4 months of rainy season. The Shetadip in the milk ocean is situated just south of the ocean of salt water. It is calculated that the area of Shetadip is 200,000 square miles. This transcendentally beautiful island is decorated with desire trees to please Lord Vishnu and his consort. There are references to Shetadip in the Brahmanda Puran, Vishnu Puran, Mahabharata, and Padma Puran. And there is the following reference in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.18, which in my place, there is not that sloka, but I can see in the computer. Shetadipatau, it's so small.
Just read the English.
Okay, sorry. My dear Uddhava, you may know that my transcendental form of Vishnu in Shetadip is identical with me in divinity. Anyone who places this Lord of Shetadip within his heart can surpass the pangs of 6 material tribulations, hunger and thirst, birth, death, lamentation, and illusion. Thus one can attain his original transcendental form.
Okay. Up there. Of course, now we're hearing the description primarily of the Shirodakshay Vishnu and some of the aspects of the manifestations within the material universes. Okay, now we will open it up for questions if anyone has any questions. Hold on a second. All right, you can now unmute yourselves. Okay. Who has a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. This is
Sadhu.
Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I was reading from Canto 1, Chapter 11, about Lord Balaram. And he left for his abode
manifesting his snake from his mouth.
Yes. So what was that, Maharaj? And how is does that take like the form of Sheshanag then, or?
Yeah, that's a form of Sheshanag. That's his pastime of leaving the world. It's part of the Lord's what's called Moshe Lila. That means when the Lord leaves this world after all the pastimes are complete, then he leaves this world in very unique ways. Like Krishna, he left this world in a very tricky way. He appeared to be shot in the foot by a hunter who was Jara or Brigamuni. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, he entered into the Tota Gopinath temple. So you have many different ways that devotees leave this world, or Ganadhar, or Lord leaves this world. Ganadhar Pandit Goswami also entered into the temple, into the deity room at least, of Tota Gopinath, and never came out again. So it's just this amazing way of leaving this world, or manifesting an amazing pastime. He manifested a snake from his mouth, and that was it. I don't think anybody else can do that. Anyway, when the Lord does something, he does something in amazing ways. He lifts Kovardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand, marches into the mouth of a snake, expands his body, that's a gasura. He sticks his hand into the mouth of a Teshi demon, you know, the horse demon, and chokes the horse to death. So Krishna does, you know, a lot of amazing things. Sometimes he sends an airplane for his devotees. And they don't have to check to see whether the devotee has the virus before they get on the airplane like they do now. So sometimes he sends an airplane for his devotees. Sometimes the devotees go up directly to the spiritual world. Sometimes even the body of the devotee becomes transformed. Rather than changing his body to go to the spiritual world, so Krishna can do anything he wants, any way he wants, and he keeps it interesting for himself and for us. So yes, that's the Bhagavatam, descriptions of Lord Balaram leaving this world.
So Gurudev is...
When Lord Ram left this world, Lord Ram just like entered into the Sarayu River, along with all the residents of Ayodhya, and they all went back to Godhead. Interesting.
So Guru Maharaj, is the Sheshnag white color, or is it?
It can be any color he wants. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's white on his belly, and then he's blue, and you know, he just manifests himself differently in different circumstances. So that's a Sheshnag. And he's glorifying the Lord with his unlimited heads. That's why he's called Ananka. And anyway, it's amazing. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, who would ever believe this, that, you know, the Lord manifests himself as a big snake and he lies down on the snake he manifests himself as. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's just like, Krishna's so cool. He's a real cool God. That he does all, you know, he doesn't do things in the traditional way. Why does he have to? You know, in the traditional way, God would be sitting on a throne and just like have a boring life. But the real nature of God is that he does things in a weird way sometimes. I mean, he acts as a fish sometimes, a half man, half lion, acts as a tortoise. You know, he has all these amazing, and even, you know, from a material standpoint, it's weird things he does. But it's interesting. It's really interesting the way things Krishna does things and the different forms he manifests. So we should, anyway, we should appreciate and be overwhelmed hearing about these things. So if he decides to leave this world by manifesting a snake from his mouth, that's easy business. Or entering into a river, that's easy business too. Or entering into the deity, that's easy. Like I said, even devotees, they leave this world and do so many amazing things. Devotees who have yogic powers. Like even Mirabai, it's described. She entered into the deity room and she disappeared. All they found when they went into the deity room were her instruments, like her veena and other instruments. Krishna's God, yeah, sure. He does things in any way he wants to. You know, he can lie down and create the universes by breathing out, or he can create the universes by going to his computer if he wants. Krishna wanted to do it that way, he could do it that way. You know, or he could go to create a universe by opening up the faucet in the kitchen sink, and the universes would come out of that. I mean, he's God. He's God. You know, it's just, he's just interesting, interesting guy. Much more interesting than any guy in this world, or any girl in this world. As a matter of fact. So, who else has a question?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Anybody else with a question?
I have more.
Okay, Brian Govind, it's your turn. So, what's your question?
Maharaj, in the verse 86, it says that Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva are situated within the universe as the director of the three modes, and their connection with the modes is known as yoga.
Yes.
This does not indicate, however, these personalities are bound by the qualities of nature.
That's right.
But then, Madhulila 20.311, it says that Shiva is actually under the influence of ignorance. He takes it. And he's not Mahabhagavat, according to Prabhupada's purport, at that time.
There's different expansions of Lord Shiva. This is actually something that's really very sophisticated. First of all, you have Sada Shiva, who's in the spiritual world, who is actually Vishnu Tattva. Interesting.
Correct.
Then you have, in the material world, you have Shambhu, who is the glance of Mahavishnu. And then you have all these Rudranis who are influenced by the mode, not Rudranis, Rudras, sorry, Rudras. Rudranis are their wives.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Who appeared because Lord Brahma was angry at his sons who refused to get married. That's interesting. Sometimes we speak to young people from Indian families and we ask, are you going to get married? And they said, well, whatever our parents say is what we'll do. And I said, I have one disciple who is really, he's really like a protege. He's like super intelligent. And I tell him, I said, you should just take sannyas. You know, you're really, you know, intelligent here. And he says, that's up to my parents. And then I said to his parents, if you can have another son, can you give him permission to take sannyas? And they said, yes. And I said, I bless you to have another son. Anyway, so it's like a story of Madhvacharya.
Did they get another son?
Not yet. We're praying every day that they'll have another son. But they already had a daughter, so they need another son. So anyway, getting back to the story about Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had these four sons, the four Kumaras, of course, and he ordered them to get married. Why? Because he wanted to fill the universe up. You know, he needed people just to have children. At a certain point, you know, it's like if the temple didn't have anybody to do the deity worship, I wouldn't order everyone to have children, obviously. That would be a disaster. I would order everyone to go out and preach and make devotees. So in the same way, Lord Brahma was looking at the whole universe and there was no one there to do anything, to fill up all the positions. And there were souls who wanted it or could have or should have taken birth. And so Lord Brahma said, you know, we got to provide a lot of bodies here. And if we want to get a lot of bodies, we got to have people create the bodies because I can't do everything myself. And so he had his Prajapatis, like our friend Daksha, who were in charge. And Daksha got married, I think, 11 wives or something. Oh, whatever, how many wives, I forget. So anyway,
Astu was one wife.
No, he had more than one wife.
The first time was one, and then
what?
First birth was one, and the next birth.
Yeah, then he got more wives.
Yes.
So anyway, so Daksha was one of the Prajapatis. So the four Kumaras, they were ordered to get married. And they were only 5-year-old boys. I mean, what are you ordering 5-year-old boys to get married for? I mean, it's a little premature. So Lord, well, you know, I guess Lord Rama had plans for them. When you grow up, you will get married and have children, and I will be a grandfather. So he ordered them to get married, and they, because they were so much immersed in Brahma Gyan, they thought, you know, what is this? We're not getting married. And when they refused the order of their father, Lord Brahma, because he had some influence of passion, he got angry with them. And out of his anger, the 11 Rudras popped out of his forehead. And so those 11 Rudras, there's some connection with the mode of passion right there and ignorance. And what they started to do is they started to destroy the universe. So they were doing their Tandava Nritya, or whatever they were doing to destroy the universe. And Lord Brahma was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? You know, it's not time to destroy the universe. It's time to fill the universe up with living entities. So then he arranged for 11 wives for them, the Rudranis. And they all got married and they lived happily ever after. And they stopped destroying the universe. It's like sometimes you find a young man who's very destructive. And if you find him a nice wife who can control him, then he becomes a little bit more peaceful. Sometimes it's the opposite. But anyway, so sorry about the joke.
But no, that's very interesting, Maharaj.
What?
You made it very distinction that there is a different Shiva. So that makes sense. It makes sense now.
And even that, and that some of the manifestations of Shiva are actually Shakti Tattva Shivas. Just like you have incarnations of God, Shakta Vesh, or Jiva Tattva. So there are some expansions of Shiva. And actually, that's mentioned, I think, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about some expansions being Jiva Tattva. Empowered expansions. Someone may remember the reference by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but I remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioning that in one particular place. That Lord Shiva can have Shakti expansions, you know, Shakti Tattva, just like Krishna has Shakti Tattva expansions. It's like Shaktivesh, the terminology was wrong. Shakti Tattva is something different. Shaktivesh, just like Lord Jesus Christ and Srila Prabhupada, they're Shaktivesh incarnations. They're Jivas. So Lord Shiva can do the same thing. That's why you'll find some descriptions there that are apparently contradictory about Lord Shiva in certain places. Like Lord Shiva, who was influenced by the mode of passion or ignorance. In another place, you'll say Lord Shiva is above the modes. Because these are expansions or empowered personalities by Lord Shiva. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. That's very clear. Thank you.
Camera is super high up. Okay, super high.
Maharaj, can I ask you one more question if nobody else has?
Let you get the wide view of me. Okay. So.
One more question.
See, I'm like Krishna. My camera does what I want it to do, even without my touching.
Oh, really?
So, all right. So what's the question?
Wow. Maharaj, you mentioned a couple times that his will, but he and his will are. There is no difference in between. Oh, wow. Your finger does this?
Yes, because this is when you have yogic powers, you've been a devotee long enough. You can do things even with the internet that other people can't do.
Wow.
See? Now you know I'm a naturally advanced devotee.
Well, you are, Maharaj.
These are the symptoms of someone who is actually advanced. They can manipulate material energy. So what was the question? I'm getting carried away.
Question is that you mentioned a couple of times that he does not escort the illusory energy, but his will activates the energy. But his will and him
Krishna,
are not
Krishna never touches. Krishna never touches the material energy. Just like I don't touch my camera, but my will is manifesting.
But Maharaj, his will and him are non-different.
That's right. But different, one different, non-different, non-different and different simultaneously.
Oh, I see. So I have to take
you
it
down. You know, okay. Krishna's will is the same as his transcendental body. There is some variety. Like we approach Krishna through his feet. You can say, well, his feet and his head are non-different, so why not approach Krishna through his head? You know, there is difference and non-difference simultaneously, but his will is part of his identity. Anyway, Krishna's a person, when he wills something, it happens. Because his energies are all first-class servants of his. Okay, I think it's time to end right now. Thank you very much for your questions. We'll see everybody tomorrow night.
It was wonderful.
At the same time and same station. All glories to his divine grace. Shrila Prabhupada, Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.